And you're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Ian Rundle from the Refugee Action Coalition. G'day, Ian. How are you?
Yeah, good, Annie. Yeah,
all these titles. I've got to make sure I get it correct. But you're all working. Okay. Yeah, you're all working on the same team, really, aren't you?
Yes, very, very much so. There's a big connection between all the RACs in Australia.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the thing about it is that we're focusing on what's now being called the Park Hotel COVID death trap. You sent out a release alerting everybody last Sunday that COVID tests on the 45 that were still remaining there were coming back positive. Can you give us a roundup of what happened?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is a very sordid tale, Annie, that a number of people had presented with symptoms inside the, Park Hotel. In my opinion, there were delays in isolating and testing them. But when four people were finally isolated and tested, it still took 3 days essentially to get an answer back, which meant, that the possibilities of exposing a much, much larger number of people were there, and that's turned out to be the case. It wasn't until Sunday, that there were the confirmed cases. Border Force was certainly saying nothing about it, but it was very clear that the fact that there were, three confirmed cases, on Sunday, that there were going to be a much larger number of people, because the government had not only created, a COVID incubator in a Park Hotel, it had done nothing, even in following the most basic protocols, to deal with the threat of COVID in that situation. And it has exposed a much greater number of people to a death threat.
Yeah, and people get it in people's minds that these people are in an enclosed space. They aren't able to open any windows, and they are being watched by, it's Serco staff, isn't it?
Yes, you've got Serco staff, that's the majority. There's a few Border Force officers, and there's been, until yesterday, one nurse.
Yeah, one
That's
nurse.
It. And the nurse operates between 8 o'clock and 4 p.m. It is just appalling. I think the other thing, Annie, is that the protocols that are followed. I mean, if you look, for example, at how the protocols that the prison authorities have for dealing with a very similar situation. I don't need to go the similarities between people who have been in detention in the hotel or detention centres with a prison. But what happened in the hotel is completely at odds with what the government's advice is and what the prison authorities actually boast about what they do with the COVID threat inside the closed detention, which is the prison system.
It's interesting, isn't it? Except for the refugee activists, there appears to be no accountability on the part of the private staff that and home. Australia Border Force in relation to this sort of behaviour?
No, I think that's also an issue. I've got no idea. Victorian Health has been remarkably silent about the situation in the Park Hotel. I don't think they would have been silent about an aged care home or if it had been another block of flats. They are silent about the detention centre because it's run by the federal government, and on water matters, the federal government has effectively thrown this barrier, wire enclosure around the detention centres, and you don't get a look in. So there is no. Accountability. And there was no oversight and no accountability. There certainly is no transparency to what happens. And the question of who is accountable. You know, does Victorian Health actually control, you know, the health situation in Victoria, or is the federal government, you know, got total control, you know, over the detention centres and is able, but it certainly is the case, it's not, it is able and has just overridden what normally would be, you know, the normal and acceptable, you know, COVID protocols in the rest of the state. Actually, look, it's a similar situation in the other states, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's Mida, Villawood, we see, you know, the same thing. The border force is a law unto itself inside the detention centres.
The other thing is that, logically speaking, the only way COVID could have got to these refugees, Medibac refugees in Park Hotel, is through the staff. So is there any word about the COVID status of the staff?
No, look, that's one of the other remarkable issues. In any other situation, there would have been a very serious attempt to try and find out the source of that infection, because obviously it's not just a threat to the Park Hotel, it's a threat to MITRE, it's a threat to the part, the general Serco, you know, staff, Border Force staff that this person would have come into contact with. But that they've been remarkably silent about, you know, the source of infection. And of course, without knowing the source of infection, that you can't do something about it, about the ongoing threat. We've seen similar situations in, you know, in MITRE, where there has been one rule for detainees and another rule, you know, for staff. We've seen, you know, situations in which, for example, in MITRE, where a detainee was being escorted by Serco staff, was actually exposed at the hospital. They were taken out for a hospital appointment.
Yeah.
Was actually exposed at the hospital and got a notice from Victorian Health that he was a close contact. He was isolated in high security inside MITRE Detention Centre. The Serco staff who escorted him were not. And that's just another example of the, you know, the differing ways. Well, the fact that there is no, you know, accountability inside the detention centre, you know, Border Force is the, you know, the judge, jury, and you know, an executioner.
And we should mention the fact that all these people who were in Park Hotel are there because they're Medivac refugees. I mean, they've been flown here for medical attention. We know that a variety of these people never received that medical attention. And there's even an incredibly disturbing account of a person who's got 50% burns on his body, has now got COVID-19. This is a really, really disturbing situation.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the population in Park Hotel, that group, particular group of people, is particularly vulnerable, and not just because it is confined in a, you know, in a COVID incubator. It's not just the circumstances that has created a high risk environment. You've got a very vulnerable population because, you know, of their experience, the fact that they've been 6 years in Nauru, Manus Island, another two, you know, more years in detention in Australia. There are a number of underlying, you know, conditions. As you said, people were brought here for medical treatment, which in the majority they, you know, they didn't get. It does mean they're particularly, you know, medically vulnerable.
Now, because these people have been detained having done no crime, but are therefore the responsibility, duty of care of Australian Border Force, why weren't they vaccinated?
Well, that's also a very good question, because it was a high-risk environment. The government, you know, kind of admits that on, you know, on paper, but it wasn't until August that they were offered, and mid-August, actually, in the case of MITRE and Park Hotel, where they were actually offered, you know, vaccines at all. So there's a big issue in, you know, in that respect. I mean, even if people have been vaccinated with AstraZeneca in August, for example, you know, they wouldn't be doubly vaccinated in the normal course of events. But there's another big issue, Annie, and that is that vaccination was a precondition for, you know, for removal. So there are many people inside Park Hotel who...
Talk about a catch-22.
That's right. That's right. Who had to make a choice between, you know, being vaccinated or and protecting themselves from COVID, or being vaccinated and leaving themselves, you know, liable to be, you know, removed from Australia back to the horrendous circumstances in, you know, in PNG and Nauru. So in those circumstances, some people understandably, you know, did not accept the vaccination and said they were very happy to get vaccinated, but outside, once they were outside, you know, the Park Hotel. I think the other issue as well is the question of IHMS, the so-called, you know, medical provider. Well, it's not a so-called, it is the medical provider, but it's certainly not much of a provider. IHMS has been the group of people who have been making the appointments for the vaccinations. People are, and I think understandably, and in many cases rightly, suspicious of, you know, of IHMS and its role inside the detention centres, both in failing to provide medical, you know, medical treatment. It's generally medically negligent. It's done nothing about, you know, providing the, you know, the medical treatment that people were brought here for. These are the people that were, you know, the meant to be providing the vaccine. So there was a lot of hesitancy and suspicion because it was IHMS, and the government has resisted, you know, moves from people outside the detention centre to provide the support, to provide, you know, kind of the information and the assurance that, you know, that people needed. Fundamentally, I think it is the question of that removal. We needed a guarantee from the government that the people would not be removed, that they had a future and were going to be released into Australia before we were going to see, you know, the rates of vaccine that, that we needed.
The other thing is there is a definite lack of attention to the health of these people, as you pointed out. It's been reported that the rate of the return in the tests, the information about the results of the tests, have had a very high lag, a time lag, that nobody else is experiencing, like 5 days before someone actually finds out that they're COVID positive. One, it must be very stressful for the people, and also it's showing, it smacks of a cover-up, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it does make it very, very suspicious. And again, in normal circumstances, someone has a COVID test, they're notified individually by Victorian Health, by the state, you know, state authorities.
And it's usually, I mean, if it's a delay of 2 days, there's a mishap, something's happened.
That's right. It's a shocker. I mean, it was a problem right from the beginning of COVID that the Australian government and the state authorities were not, you know, properly equipped to do the tracking and tracing that was needed, which left the whole population vulnerable. But in now, whatever it is, 18 months on, for people in Park Hotel to be waiting, you know, 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, you know, for test results is criminal. And that's what we have seen in Park Hotel. Actually, in MITRE as well, people waited 6 days.
Wow!
Now to get test results in MITRE, and I think the other point that I was making is that instead of people being individually notified, they were notified through IHMS.
Oh dear!
So that that again made people very suspicious. You know, that the rolling out of the results, if you like, or the announcement results, was actually being, you know, orchestrated to politically manage the the outbreak, rather than, you know, primarily the the concern. So you had the results, you know, dribbled out over a number of days, which is just, you know, it's just inconceivable. It's certainly inexplicable why you could have 42 results being done on Sunday, and 5 days later, we're still waiting for, you know, three or four of those results to be handed to people. But there's just no possible explanation, you know, for that. It is just completely negligent. But the Victorian Health Authorities, again, you know, rather than insisting on, you know, understanding what has happened. I mean, if they're responsible for the delay, then they've got questions to, you know, to answer. If they've been providing the results, then IHMS has, you know, been has orchestrated the results. Similarly, you would have expected Victorian Health to be, you know, making a bigger, you know, bigger noise, you know, about what is it is it's criminal mishandling what's happened inside, you know, the Park Hotel. Look, if this had have been, you know, an aged care centre, there would have been a complete outcry.
But you know what it's like. It's like that thing. It's like people watching a bully be a bully. You know, it's that sort of. People holding their breath because they can't believe it's happening, or they don't want anybody to pick on them.
Yeah, no, there's some truth to that. People just averted their eyes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. What's your group hoping will happen by applying pressure?
Well, I mean, I think we need a number of things. But, you know, the first thing we want to see is that if you create a safe environment, the people who are COVID positive should not be being held in the same facility as people who are COVID negative. I mean, that's just absolutely basic. It's something the prison authorities boast about, you know, about their handling of COVID, that people who are identified, they're taken out of the detention area into, you know, a secure and safe place to actually, you know, actually quarantine. That's not what we've got. We've got people who are COVID positive who are on level one of the same hotel. People on level two, level three, Park Hotel is not, you know, a quarantine facility. It's a recipe for actually spreading the virus. So that's the first thing. There needs to be, you know, immediate measures taken to ensure the safety, and that means proper medical attention for the people who have got COVID. One nurse, you know, for 46 people inside the place, one nurse for what is it now, 15 people with confirmed COVID. It's again, it's just criminally negligent. It wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen anywhere else. So the place, you know, we need safe measures. But beyond that, we also have to recognise that the safest thing for them is for them to be in the community, is to get them out of the detention centre. They shouldn't have been there in the first place. They were transferred for medical treatment that they didn't get. They were transferred understanding that they would be released into the community. I think that's, you know, we need those safe COVID measures. We need people actually put in safe, you know, in safe environment. That means very quickly putting them in a safe place they can quarantine as the first step for them actually being free, you know, in the community. And that's what people will be outside Park Hotel today, 2 o'clock. There's a protest being organised and to try and push those demands as hard as we can to raise the awareness about what's happening in Park Hotel, and to the extent to which, you know, I think what's happening over COVID is simply a reflection of the way, you know, refugees, the indifference, you know, that Australia's refugee policy has to refugee lives is being exposed very dramatically at the Park Hotel at the moment.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah, thanks very much, Annie.